when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're back again. You may notice a little bit of difference in our segment, time segments tonight, because we started a new clock. Jay and Sam and Zach spent a lot of time getting this new clock going. You may notice a little bit of difference. Some of the breaks are going a little bit shorter, some a little bit longer. But it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same top quality radio. I guarantee double DMT. By the way, I should have told y'all. Happy Pearl Harbor Day tomorrow, December the 7th. Pearl Harbor.
January, you mean? We're in January.
Oh, good. What the hell is wrong with me, people? I had Pearl Harbor Day. What is wrong? Boy, I dropped a bomb on that damn thing. Anyway, we missed talking about Pearl Harbor Day back in December, so I'll just remind you we missed Pearl Harbor Day. Anyway, people, we got what we're going to do. Sister Braveheart is going to talk about, she's going to wrap up this, what I call kind of like the canary list. She's going to close out the first, some of the things we didn't get to close out in the first hour, she's going to tie up. And then we're bringing Sister Bell Cow in. She's going to kind of lead us out in the second segment after that. Go ahead, Braveheart.
Well, I think we did wrap up the topic we were talking about last, and that was about Kathleen Dudley. I didn't really have anything more about that right now. We might in future, and hopefully it will be good news, not bad news, because they do want to put her in jail. They are threatening to do so. The judge and all these formal papers that she's getting is about putting her in jail. It's like, it doesn't look good. But anyway, she's fighting for her freedom every day. So I did that. We've wrapped up on that. I did have a number of other topics, but it's good that Nancy's on because they are topics that we can talk about together. And why don't I just start with, I had mentioned this to you, Eddie, that I want to do a book recommendation. And I know that Nancy always has her regular weekly Tar and Feathering and that other feature. What is that other feature you have again, Nancy?
The heroes.
The heroes. Okay, so why don't I just say I have a book recommendation, and it is this book that has been republished. It was out of print for many, many, many years. It was originally in German, published in Germany in 1938, at the height of, you know, German strength and power, and it was called Der Giftpilz, which means the poisonous mushroom. And it is available from the Barnes Review. And this was a book for children, maybe between 8 and 14 or so, but it's really for everybody older as well. I'm halfway through it. It's not because it's a big, thick book. It's a very thin book. It's very easy to read, very fast to read. It's a children's book. It has some illustrations in it, too. But it's basically a warning, a teaching the children, warning them about who? Our enemy, or the enemy that is trying to kill us, the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very controversial book. It was very controversial, and I think it was labeled as one of the most, you know, bad books that was put out by the National Socialist government, the regime. Actually, I don't think it was put out by the government. It was, who's the author here? I'll have to just look that up, but the author, Ernst Hemer. And I just have something in my throat, so I'm going to pass it over to Nancy, and then I'll carry on about this book, because I can't talk right now. Over to you.
Okay, Monica and Eddie.
I have done my suggestion for the next, for the maybe the part of this hour, maybe, is to compare the Jew-wise Martin Luther with the Martin Luther King Jr., who was a Jew dupe. And I'll start out with the weekly tar and feathering. I would say that the tar and feathering of this week should go to the Mossad Jews and the CIA USA who bombed the beautiful Beirut, Lebanon, and killed untold numbers of civilians. Now, they say they killed a Hamas leader, and of course, these Israelis are threatening to go worldwide and bomb anywhere, any place in the world. They also, I'm going to say that this had a Jewish hand in it. They also bombed the Iranian cemetery, where there was a memorial going on to General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed by former President Trump in 2020 in Baghdad, Iraq, due to encouragement from those neocons, John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. Oddly enough, those neocons now absolutely seem to hate Trump. I don't know how they got appointed to begin with. It was a big mistake on Trump's part. But the hero of the week, or the heroes of the week, are all of those people worldwide who are standing up for the Palestinians. Due to some miscommunications, I was almost able to participate in another protest that took place on Thursday here in Louisville in front of Raytheon. Raytheon is a manufacturer of military hardware, and I hardly knew that we did it. I hardly knew it was even in Louisville, but it is a factory. It's a massive place in Louisville, but there was some kind of miscommunication between myself and the people who were putting the protest on. But one of the things I want to mention, you're talking about tomorrow being January the 7th. That is 3 months since October the 7th, the so-called false flag attack of Israel, that has been this 3 months of ongoing bombing and genocide of the Palestinian people. I want to bring up something kind of humorous, and I think that Monica will know what I'm talking about. Monica, are you familiar with the Iditarod?
I'll make it
very brief. There's a T-shirt. I thought it was kind of, I never had one. But the Iditarod is a dog sled race. It's about 1,500 miles across Alaska. I think it starts or ends in Nome. And what's interesting is that women often have won this race more in the recent years. So there is a T-shirt that came out that said, in Alaska, men are men and women win the Iditarod. There you go. But I'll go back to Monica. But like I say, I've got some research I would like to talk about at some point, comparing Martin Luther King, with Martin Luther King Jr. One was Jew-wise and one was a dupe of the Jews.
Okay, Eddie, I don't want to jump around too much with topics because I think Nancy should carry on that, but I have my voice back, and I could just read this first paragraph of the foreword of the book that I had recommended, and it's a foreword by Thomas Dalton, who is a very good author himself. He says, the following children's book was written during Nazi Germany's height of power in 1938. Hitler's government had overcome the corruption and decay of the Weimar regime that had ruled Germany after World War I, and amidst a global depression that was destroying the lives of millions in the West, succeeded in raising up a crippled and defeated nation to become a world power. As with all successful nations, its leaders sought to promote their values and their worldview among the public, and especially among the youth. Hence, it is not surprising that someone should have undertaken to write a children's book condemning the primary domestic enemy of the German people. the Jews. Mm-hmm. So that's just the first paragraph of the foreword. And then on the back cover, you know, where there's always a blurb about the book, it does say, among the most controversial of Nazi publications was a book for children. And again, this book, it's in English, it's The Poisonous Mushroom. Here, the Jewish threat to German society was portrayed in the most simplistic and elemental terms. The author, Ernst Hemer, put together 17 short vignettes or morality stories intended to warn children of the dangers posed by Jews. Jews were depicted, whoops, there we go, I can hear that, as conniving, thieving, treacherous liars who would do anything for personal gain.
Well, we'll sure continue that as soon as we come back this quick break. Be right back, people. Hang on your seats.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Dude, Blood River Radio, we're having fun here messing with our new clock. But anyway, we're right back now. We're going to go back to Sister Braveheart. She was in the process of explaining some things, and she got cut off by our break. So we're right back with Sister Braveheart. Go ahead, Braveheart.
Okay, I'll just say that at the very end of this blurb, on the back cover of this book that I highly recommend everybody get, it just says, this book was repeatedly cited at the Nuremberg trials as evidence of Nazi cruelty and was used by prosecutors to justify a death sentence for its publisher, Julius Streicher.
Streicher's a man.
Streicher. If only for the sake of history, the reading public should have access to one of the more intriguing and quote-unquote notorious publications of the Third Reich. So again, you can get this at the barnesreview.org, and in their store and under books, The Poisonous Mushroom. I highly recommend it. I would say this is like a, you know, book of the year.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind reading it myself. I tell you, there's so many good books out there to read, but I'm sure that'd be a great one. You know, you've said something I'd like to kind of revisit for a second. And we talked about this numerous times on Blood River. After the First War, in the 20s and in the early 30s, before Hitler and the National Socialists came to power, I can't imagine, thank God I can't imagine how bad it really was there. People were starving to death. The depression in the United States was horrible, but it was, absolutely nothing, people. The depression in the United States was a walk through the park compared to the depression in Germany, and it was so hard in Germany because it was engineered to be that hard. The international Jew that brought Germany to its knees, and we talked about this when I'm getting ready to tell you before, years before, Gene and I talked about this about 2 weeks ago on the program. I'm going to say 6 years, 5 to 6 years before the shooting started in the Second World War, the international Jews worldwide, the Worldwide Jewish Congress, whatever they call themselves, they announced total war, economic war on Germany. They really did. Germany, keep in mind, when Germany had created this miracle with Adolf Hitler, in the German Socialist Party had the National Socialists had created an economic miracle. They, like Sister Monica said, they had become a world powerhouse, while the rest of the world was in deep depression. Hitler brought the German people from where people were committing suicide. They were starving to death. I don't know if you know this or not, but Berlin was the smut capital of the world. They had every known thing of degradation, sexual degradation, homosexuality, bisexuality, drugs. And they were doing it because they were starving to death. There was no other way to make money. All the Germans, they're out of work, starving. They were having to pay immense amount of so-called war reparations. Well, get to the point where Hitler brought them all out of that when they were just getting really good, when they were in really good shape in Germany. The international Jews called a boycott of them and to try to cut it in hay to get to the meat. Hitler and the socialists, they had to do kind of a deal with the international Jews. And that's where there's a great book written about this, written by a Jew, no doubt. But his last name is Black, the Jew that wrote a book called The Transfer Agreement. And where the Jew, I got to hurry up, I don't want to take up too much time. But the Germans actually let the Jews go scot-free out of Germany. The international Jewry won. They were taking Jews from the Soviet Union at that time and taken from Germany, and they were taking them to Israel. And they were Hitler and the Germans, not only did they let them go, they helped them. They gave them money. They gave them equipment. Well, in the part of the deal, of course, the Jews wind up stabbing Hitler and the Germans in the back. But that's how they tried to get that boycott called off. But hey, I'm getting too long-winded there. But anyway, back to you, Sister Monica.
To Nancy now. I think we should go to Nancy now.
Oh, good deal. Good. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, I don't know where to start.
Start the beginning.
I'm not sure where to begin. I'll try and cut this down, but I thought it would be interesting because it's all about the Jews, but I don't know. We'll start with this anyway. Martin Luther lived between 1483 and 1546. October the 31st of 1517, he tacked up 95 theses on his church door. They were actually up there for debate, and he was opposed to some of the greed and indulgences of the Catholic Church. He felt that the church could not pardon sins, as no one needed to purchase salvation. I didn't realize that the word Protestant comes from protest, which it does make sense. Anyway, Martin Luther was defrocked by the Pope. Eventually, he went into hiding. Later on, he was married, and he wrote several books. He was a hymn writer. He was an Augustinian friar. He was an author, and he was a seminal leader of the Reformation. But what people do not understand, one of the things he did, which is amazing, in 11 weeks, he translated the New Testament from Greek into German. Of course, this was done for the German people so that they could actually read the Bible. But he wrote a book on the Jews and their lies. This is something most people, probably even Lutherans, may not know. And I'd like to make a tell you the list of about 7 items that he suggested that should be done to the Jews. And they are very violent. They are not peaceful. First of all, he said, set fire to synagogues or schools. Second, he advised that their houses also be razed. Third, he talked about taking their prayer books and Talmudic writings from them. Forbid rabbis to teach, possible loss of life if they were teaching the Talmudic thoughts. Number 8, abolish safe conduct on highways for Jews. Number 6, usury to be prohibited. And listen to this, number 7, he said, make young Jews and Jewesses earn their bread by the sweat of their brow, or eject them forever from the country. Those are just a few of the thoughts that Jew-wise Martin Luther had about the people who are still trying to destroy religion, trying to kill Gentiles. They're still active 400 years later or more from the time of Martin Luther.
Trying to kill us.
They're still active.
Trying to kill us. I would call those things, instead of call it, like, they sound very aggressive, and that is acts of aggression and violence, but you know what? They are pure self-preservation and self-defense, because the Jews are actively working to damage us, to steal from us, and to kill us. And so those acts, which sound very violent to us, yes, they do. And that's why, of course, the Jews went after him and called him all bad things and anti-Semitic, of course. No, it's pure self-defense.
Absolutely.
So that's an important way of looking at it, an important thing to understand.
And you can also look at the time period in which those kinds of claims and those kinds of actions were pretty ordinary. I mean, these were the kinds of things that were happening. People were being tortured, and people were being burned, and people were being abused. But, you know,
sounds
back
like Palestine.
Later on, I'll talk about Martin Luther King Jr., but I want to pitch out something regarding the president of Harvard, who recently stepped down or either resigned or she took another big paying job. On television, I watched the Republican representative, Elise Stefanik. She's from New York. I had actually always liked her because she seemed to be pretty good about talking about Biden and Trump and whatever. She's a graduate of Harvard. She attacked all these presidents who were being interrogated about their feelings about protests on the campus. And at any rate, she attacked, this Harvard black name. Her name is last name Gay. Well, Gay fell to the Jews. It was very obvious. That is the reason she either resigned or was kicked out of her position as a president. But what's interesting, when I talked to my brother, he talked about the fact that there were allegations of plagiarism against her, which there are. And he seemed to think that was kind of some value. It's interesting they didn't find these allegations. They didn't bring up these allegations when they hired her. But it's very much like Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes, yes.
Biden. They were all involved in plagiarism. So anyway, that's just another sideline of history.
Excellent point.
I think the reason
you know what? They don't like putting people in positions of power who don't have dirt on them, such as that, because then they like to trot out these dirty deeds when convenient. Isn't that right?
Right. Absolutely.
People are getting ready to go to a break. In fact, we're there now. I'm watching the new clock. And people will go right away. I'm going to comment on that as soon as we come back. Be right back, people.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Former President Donald Trump appealed the Colorado Supreme Court's decision removing him from the ballot to the U.S. Supreme Court. The high court quickly agreed to decide the case. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul agrees with the court's decision.
Without question, the Supreme Court has to hear it. When I hear that it's going to be almost a month, though, until the hearing and perhaps longer to the ruling, I'm concerned that even that's too long. I think there needs to be an emergency injunction to shut down any of the states that are wanting to do this.
President Biden and former President Donald Trump both hit the campaign trails on Friday as the 2024 presidential election heats up. Arkansas Republican Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders joins Fox News to discuss how red states are doing ahead of the election.
States like Arkansas and other red states across the country continue to excel and do well. I think this bodes very well for the election coming up in November. I think President Trump is on track. I think there is such a great contrast to what is happening in blue states led by Democrat governors.
New revelations from another Jeffrey Epstein document dump. USA's Laura Winters with the details.
The third batch of Jeffrey Epstein documents unsealed. The new public documents allege Epstein and his associates would target and troll nightclubs looking for teenage girls. Also, new details about Prince Andrew. His butler alleges he received daily massages at Epstein's home in Palm Beach, Florida. And we learn Epstein invoked the Fifth Amendment 500 times during a deposition in 2016, and he dodged questions about former President Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation.
A winter storm is bringing a mix of rain and snow to New York and Washington, D.C., while Boston could get at least 6 inches of snow. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get four of each Pure Ground Burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Oh, you wonderful Blood River Radio family. We just had a good laugh. We've been watching this new high-tech clock that the Liberty News Radio staff put together, Jay and all the crowd, and Sam and Zach, and it's really nice. I tell you, I'm really enjoying it. Anyway, we're going to go right back to Sister Nancy. We were talking about Martin Luther King and the Martin Luther, comparing and contrasting between them a little bit, and also the difference in treatment between the Harvard professor, Mrs. Gay, and Martin Luther King, the difference in treatment they got when they were busted out for being plagiarists. But go ahead, Sister Nancy. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, the reason I thought this was timely is that on January the 15th, they are celebrating. This is a federal holiday. It's Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, which his birthday actually was on the 19th of January. No, it was on the 15th. I'm sorry. But the point is, it took place. It replaced Robert E. Lee's holiday, and that they did that several years ago. I just heard on the television, I think, that UPS is closing, maybe for the first time, for Martin Luther King holiday. So I thought this was a timely subject, since it is coming up January the 15th, everything will be closed down for this scoundrel. But I want to first talk about his daddy. I knew nothing about Martin Luther King Jr.'s father, but I thought this was rather interesting, and his father may have been a reasonable human being. His father was Michael King, and he had his name and his name and his first son's name changed in 1934, believe it or not, after visiting in Germany and finding out more about Martin Luther. So this is a connection, that's an interesting connection, how he came about to change the name, his own name, from Michael King. Now this is a senior. Michael King became Martin Luther King Sr., and the one who is infamous became Junior. Now his daddy was born in 1899 and died in 1984, and both he and his son attended Morehouse College, which is a black college. Michael King, his original name, he had a daughter and two sons. Now there was something very unusual about this family. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed in 1968. And the second son died in 1969 under very mysterious circumstances, some kind of drowning. But I wonder if the CIA, FBI, BATF could have been involved in his murder. I don't know.
Sorry, when you said I'm just going to interject. When you said Martin Luther King Jr., were you actually talking about senior?
Both sons
died 1 year apart?
Right, yes. And the second one died, well, we know how Martin Luther King Jr. died. But we don't, there's a lot of speculation about how the son died, but that's not the end of this interesting story. King Sr.'s wife, Alberta, was murdered in 1974 at the Ebenezer Baptist Church by a 23-year-old black, the target was actually her husband, King Sr., and he was a black Hebrew Israelite. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of death and dying in this family. But let's go back to Martin Luther King Jr., who is the subject, really, of our talk. He was born January the 15th of 1929. He was killed April the 4th of 1968 in Eddystown, in Memphis.
That's right here.
He attended Morehouse. He also attended the Crozier Theological Seminary and the Boston. He was a Boston University graduate who was accused of plagiarism. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested over 25 times. He had 45 known lovers, and one of them may have included Joan Baez. He got a Georgia woman pregnant, and she had his bastard son. Here in Louisville, we had the first black Kentucky senator, female senator, Georgia Powers. She admitted, and I think with great bravado, that she had a one-year affair while she was married. And believe it or not, she was at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis when when Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. She admitted it, and she was proud of it. He was known to be brutal to women, and he used prostitutes, and, you know, that was common knowledge. But that's kind of the summation. What I wanted to compare him with was the real Martin Luther, who was Jew-wise, and Martin Luther King Jr. was a pawn of the communists. He was a pawn of the Jews. And people in this country, they absolutely adore him. So here you go. Another black hits the dust. With plagiarism, and I want to show you something. I'll read one thing from American Free Press. There's a title of an article called "Achieving Equity Through Mediocrity," and the Chicago mayor, who is black, he wants to close down any of these high-achieving schools, so that they'll be if there are any. Okay, back to you, Eddie and Monica.
Well, I'll just jump in before we go. I just want to say, okay, this man who was bad with women and plagiarized and did all these things, what a brilliant choice for having a national holiday for him every year now. Wow. That's all I'll say.
Yes, you know what? And he was drilled right here in Memphis, Tennessee. One of the few things he can be proud about being in Memphis, you know. But, you know... And this is kind of an aside. I ride by that spot about at least 2 days a week. In fact, God willing, maybe I shouldn't say this because of I've got more than one enemy out there. I'll be riding by there tomorrow. Within if you can take a pea shooter and shoot the Lorraine Hotel right there where the sainted Martin Luther King was assassinated. And it's right there on Mulberry Street, runs right by the Lorraine Hotel. They're making a big shrine there now. It's all fenced off. I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, self-hating cucks, most of the people there that come there as visitors, as fans, as adoring worshipers of the sainted Martin Luther King, most of them are white. There's a great number of blacks, but the vast majority of them are white people that come from all over the United States, all over the world, indeed, to, I guess, to worship, to, you know, kind of like going to, Mecca. If you were like a Muslim, it's kind of like going to Mecca. I mean, it's, you would not believe it. You see people come out of there crying and sobbing. I mean, my God, it's been, what, 78, 88, 98, 08, 18, 28? What has been, it's going on 60 years? You know, and they're still crying like he just shot yesterday. I could go on and tell you volumes of things that I've seen happen there. But I wanted to read this letter about Trump, but it would be kind of out of place right now to read that letter about the Truman, that President Truman wrote against the Jews. You know, without. I was going to name President Truman because Israel supposedly became a state, an official nation, in May of 1948. And, you know, President Truman, he, 11 minutes after they declared their nationhood, and I don't know what day in May, but this article I just pulled up my phone a few minutes ago said that 11 minutes after Israel declared them their statehood, Truman came in there and he signed off on it. He agreed to that. Signed off. He recognized them. He recognized them as state as a nation against the advice. And I'm surprised. Very surprised at this. Very surprised that the United States State Department was against that, because I know right now the State Department is flat from top to bottom. Communists, hardcore communists, except, you know, there's always going to be a few moles in there probably. And also even the military, the military, Rick, was against Israel becoming a nation state like that. But he signed off. I remember what's the soul, Lee Cochran, who used to be our co-host here, he said that he was telling me a story how about the Jews gave President Truman at the time, who's president at the time, gave him a suitcase full of money, like $1 million cash. Was in, you know, in the 1940s, $1 million was a hell of a lot more money. That's a lot of money to me now. But he was bought off. But later he regretted it. If we get time, I'll read that letter that you can go to the library, the Truman Library right now, and find the letter. And I'd like to get a copy of it, but that's kind of an aside. But getting back to Martin Luther King, the FBI had followed him for years. They knew he was a communist. He took train. Oh, I'm not watching my clock. People, we've got to go to a quick break. And I'll finish the story as soon as we come back. What's left of it. Be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Blood River Radio audience, good Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. I'm sitting here, I got me a new toy here, got this new clock. We've gone to a new clock. I don't know if you people have noticed the difference in the time between the breaks. But it's a, I like a high-tech clock, and I've been fooling with that. Fooling my cell phone, trying to pull up a letter from Harry Truman, trying to multitask, and I don't know why I do that because I can barely do a monotask. But anyway,
multitasking is for the birds, Eddie. hasn't anybody told you that? Multitasking is for the birds.
Well, I'll tell you what, I found that out. They're trying to do it. We're talking about Martin Luther King and Martin Luther from Germany. Boy, I love Martin Luther. I got one of his books. In fact, I want to do a complete expose on that, people, as soon as I can. I know Sister Nancy mentioned a book called The Jews and Their Lies, published by Martin Luther. He was a prolific writer. The guy was a genius, and he did. I know I'm going to get some hate mail for this probably because I know we have Catholics that send in money. You couldn't melt me and pour me into a Catholic church. You couldn't melt me and pour me into a Baptist church or a Mormon church. I think I think every single one of them have flaws, and they've been infiltrated. But Martin Luther, like she mentioned, I'm going to go back to Martin Luther King too. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. I don't think he was a Jesuit. I don't know if he was Franciscan. But see, he went to Rome, He saw things with his own eyes, the same thing I saw when I was in the churches, a lot of the same things. He found out, for instance, he busted the Catholics out and the Jews. He said that the Catholic Church, and they really were, they were selling penances, they were selling the blessings. And Sister Nancy and I talked about this. See, the priest, the Catholic priest, they didn't want the people to have a Bible. You have to go through the Pope. You have to go through the priest, because I've had people that I know very well said, tell me that you shouldn't read the Bible because you don't have enough intelligence to understand it. I'm saying I'm not a Jew, but you know I do have a college education, and I could have gone through officers candidate school when I was in the Army because I scored high enough on the test. But I mean, if you can read a traffic manual's book and go and take a test and get your driver's license in any state, I think you're qualified to read the Bible. You know, I don't need some stinking priest wearing a dress. I don't need some Baptist who's got a Jew in one hand. I don't need any of those imposters to tell me what the Bible says. Well, anyway, and I know this is going to piss a lot of people off, but so be it. Anyway, and I'll know when the donations don't come in, but that's okay. Martin Luther saw with his own eyes. When he went to Rome to Vatican, he said the place was like a gigantic whorehouse. He said that the filth and depravity there were just off the scale. Then the priests and bishops were selling all kinds of penances. And it's in this book I've got, The Legacy of Luther. But I'm going to give you a complete expose on Luther, because I think Luther was the man. Not only did he bust out the bogus churches, he busted out the Jews. And I'm not saying, get this, people, I'm not saying that the entire Catholic Church was evil, because get this and keep this, people, I'm buried a Catholic. My wife was a cradle Catholic for several generations. She left the church in 1986 because she couldn't stand the sinning. She couldn't stand the corruption and the kowtowing of the priest to the rich people. She couldn't stand the pedophilia, and she left it. And it's not the same Catholic Church. It used to be 100 years. It's never been perfect by any means. But after Vatican II in 1962, 1961, they changed the mass. It got infiltrated by a bunch of Jew homosexuals. And what you see, and everybody knows what the Baptist Church is right now. The Baptist Church is nothing but a damn Jewish temple in disguise. Because if you're a Baptist, and listen, I can dog the Baptist to hell. My grandfather was a Baptist minister on my dad's side, and I was baptized in the Baptist Church. But I've since came to my senses, and I'm what they call a recovering Baptist. I went to a Catholic church just to keep the peace when I was a kid. I mean, when we were first married, I was a son of a bitch, the son of a bitch of all, if I didn't go to church. That's before my wife left. But anyway, I can dog them. If you're a Baptist, you know, you have to have a Jew in one hand and a black in the other hand, or you can't get into heaven. And you also have to have a covered dish. And how I got off on those rabbit trails, I never know, but I'm just going to say this. Truman, I won't read this letter. I'll read this letter some other time, but Martin Luther, I'm putting it this way, if I had to pick any church, if I could find a hardcore Lutheran church that preached what Luther preached, he preached the gospel according to Jesus Christ out of the King James Bible, that's the only way to go. You're better off without a church. You're better off just to be what we had a co-host here, Jacob Tyler, who said he was a pre-denominational biblicist. He went by the Bible, but get away from all these, you know, all these churches. Every single one I've ever been to, you had to do this, you had to do that. Be a good Pentecostal, a good Baptist, a good Methodist, a good Presbyterian. Anyway, y'all, I hope I hadn't rambled too much, but how about you, Sister Nancy? Why don't you pick up the ball and run with it for a while?
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Eddie, and I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not against you reading that letter. I mean, I think it would be just as applicable as anything you've been talking about it now, if you've got time to read it.
Well, I'll see if I can pull that. I'll tell you what I'll do then. I'm going to see. I had that thing here just a second ago, and I believe I can find it. It is a nice letter. I'll find it. I'll start the whole thing. Hopefully this won't take me long. And like I said, in the beginning, President Truman was he's been lionized as a hero by the Jews because he is the one, he recognized Israel as a state 10 minutes after, 11 minutes after they became after they became after the FA announced their statehood, he recognized them as a state. Now I've scrolled down to I'll start right here. It says let me see. It says came. Let's see. Let me start right here. Okay, here we go. I'll make this as fast as I can. This is July the 18th. This the Los Angeles Times put this letter out right here. And going down, it says the release of the 1947 diary kept by President Harry S. Truman included comments from Sarah J. Bloomfield, executive director of United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. The article should have attributed the comments to an interview Bloomfield gave during to the Washington Post. It says, so it came as something of a shock last week when the president, the Truman Presidential Museum and Library in Independence, Missouri, released a diary Truman kept in 1947, in which he complained about complained that the Jews. This is the letter. The Jews have no sense of proportion, nor do they have any judgment on world affairs. Complaining about a call from Henry Morgenthau. This is the letter that out of Truman's diary. He's complaining about a call from Henry Morgenthau, the former Treasury Secretary of the United States, who was head of United Jewish Appeal. Truman fumed about a request to pressure Britain, then in charge of Palestine. This is how Palestine gave away to the Jews, folks. People Britain at the time was in charge of Palestine. It was a mandate that the British had at that time, up until the 1948 and 1950. The Jews wanted him, including Henry Morgenthau, to put pressure on Britain to turn Palestine over to the Jews, and he wanted admit a boatload of Jewish refugees made homeless in World War II. He said their plight was played. Was portrayed, and believe it or not, I read this book, people, in Leon Uris's book, The Exodus. I can't believe I read that book, which was made into a movie starring Paul Newman, which, incidentally, this is a rabbit trail, but Paul Newman was Jewish. He said, here's the letter. Here's the meat, people, after all my rambling. This is a quote from Truman. The Jews, I find, are very, very selfish. They care not how many Estonians, Latvians, Finns, Poles, Yugoslavs, or Greeks get murdered or mistreated as displaced persons, as long as the Jews get special treatment. Yet when they have power, physical, financial, or political, neither Hitler nor Stalin has anything on them for cruelty or mistreatment to the underdog. Put an underdog on top, and it makes no difference whether his name is Russian, Jewish, Negro, management, labor, Mormon, Baptist. He goes haywire. So that's what the great Harry Truman thought about the Jews. And I know I went on a long diatribe and rabbit trail, went around the world getting to that. So I hope you'll forgive me if I got too long-winded and went too much into the circle. But, you know, everybody, if you hang around the Jews long enough, you find out what they are. They're sons of the devil. Like we said many times before, is St. John 8:44, Jesus Christ. I know I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating 1,000 more times. Don't listen to what the Pope says about the Jews. Don't listen to what the head of the Mormon Church says about the Jews. Don't go back and see what Billy Graham, the vaunted Billy Graham, had to say about the Jews. Let's see what Jesus Christ said about the Jews, people. If you're going to be a Christian, in St. John 8:44, we'll say this 1,000 more times, he told them that the Jews were their father, the devil. And the reason they're father of the devil is because they did not obey Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to finish that up as soon as we come back, and we'll go right back to one of the Blood River Radio sisters. Be right back, folks.